Good afternoon, everyone. It is good to be back here again. Good to see everyone smiling, or most everyone. Liz smiles regularly. Beautiful smile. You know, man has a tendency to glorify things that he admires, the accomplishments of other individuals. You give those individuals glory. If you see a large naval carrier, magnificent in its size and its power, it has a degree of glory that we give it. We have a tendency to glorify these things and individuals. In the military, the exploits and accomplishments of the men and women displayed on their chest by the medals or ribbons that they wear. These medals will give them a different degree of glory according to what it meant. The highest award that a man in the military or woman in the military can receive is the Congressional Medal of Honor. Now, this medal is so respected that even a general will salute a private if this private is wearing this medal. So it's a very glorious medal to this individual. We give glory and honor to politicians, not necessarily because they've accomplished something, but because of their notoriety. We're familiar with them, their exploits, and well, I'd hate to say bending the truth, but talking around the truth. Some glory that we give is deserved. Some is not. We give glory to teams, athletic teams. Here in Arkansas, the Razorbacks, everyone gives glory to the Razorbacks. And in a way, we find a way to give glory to ourselves by including us in the team when we say, next year we'll go to the finals, or we'll go to the final four. You know, as though you're on the team. You receive some of that glory that you've given that team. But when we look up in the night sky, now with all the light pollution, we see maybe a few hundred stars. But if you get away from the light pollution and look up into the sky, you can see thousands of stars. And if you're very lucky, you'll see the band of stars stretching from one horizon to the other. This is the Milky Way. But I don't know if we can fully comprehend what we're seeing when we're looking at the Milky Way. This is our home galaxy. This is where we live. This is where Earth is located. But God created everything. He created these stars, this Milky Way galaxy. He created everything that is on this Earth. And every night when we look up into the night sky, we can see the glory of God displayed out before us. On a bright full moon, I mean, you lose some of the stars because of the brightness of the moon, but that's very glorious. I used to enjoy being able to go out at night and walking in the darkness, watching the stars. And when I was young, I used to chase my shadow, trying to catch. I knew I couldn't, but the goal was to catch my shadow. When the moon was in the right location, I could chase it. I wouldn't get it, but I could chase it. But the heavens contain wonders that, and sights that we cannot comprehend. But everywhere we can see in the universe the glory of God displayed. turn to Genesis 1, verses 14 through 19. Genesis 1, 14 through 19. Begin in verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth," and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and a lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Mankind has been looking up into the heavens as long as he's been on earth, since God created him. Now when David looked up into the heavens, he could see the glory of God displayed. But how much David knew about the universe, we can't be certain. We can assume that he didn't know any more than any other man at that time, but we don't know. In Psalms 19, verse 1 through 6, Psalms 19, verse 1. The heavens are declaring the glory of God, and their expanse shows the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their message goes out to all the world, and their word to the ends of the earth. He has set up a tent for the sun in its heavens, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, or like a champion who rejoices at the beginning of a race. Its circuit is from one end of the sky to the other, and nothing is hidden from its heat. As David saw the glory of God's creation in the heavens, spoke volumes about it, about God's glory, without uttering a single word. We should be able to see that glory and know who that glory belongs to. It belongs to God. The title of my message today is "The Heavens Declare the Glory of God." I want to look at a few of the marvels about the heavens and the universe that glorify God. We know that God created the universe by his will, through the word. It has been said that God was the architect, and Jesus, or the word, was the builder. In Psalms 148:1, beginning verse 1. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord, from the heavens. Praise him in the height. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun, moon, and praise him, all you stars of the night, light. Praise him, you heavens of heaven, and you waters that are, be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. God's vision for man began many, many years ago, long before the earth was created. Everything was prepared billions of years before God created Adam and Eve, about 6,000 years ago. The universe, as best as science can determine by current technology, is about 13.7 billion years old. That's pretty old. Today I'll be using some pretty large numbers, so I think I better refresh your memories on some names of numbers. Now we all know what a million is. It's one followed by six zeros. 1,000 million is 1 billion. 1,000 billion is 1 trillion. Now what is 1,000 trillion? Does anyone know? I have to confess I didn't know. I had to look these up. It's a quadrillion. That's 1,000,000,000. 1,000 quadrillion is 1 quintillion. That's 1,000,000,000,000. And 1,000 quintillion is 1 sextillion. And that's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000. 1,000 sextillion is 1 septillion. And that's 1,000,000,000,000,000,000. Now I could go on up to 1 centillion, which is 10 followed by 303 zeros. But we won't get that far up in numbers, so we will stop where we're at. But remember those numbers, those names, because we will be referring to them later. Most everything in the universe is big, very big. The Earth, to us, it's very big. It has a diameter around the equator about 24,900 miles. Now, although you can't do it, it was possible to drive around the equator in a vehicle at 70 miles an hour, 24 hours a day, without stopping for gas, food, or other pit stops, it would take you about 14.8 days. Light, on the other hand, can travel 7 times around the Earth in 1 second. Now, when we compare the Earth with the Sun is much, much larger. If you could melt the Earth, so it's a liquid, and pour it into a sphere the size of the Sun, it would take 1.3 million Earths to fill the Sun. And yet, our Sun is a small, medium-sized Sun. There are suns that are much, much larger. So it's the distances in the universe are so large that it's impractical to use miles. It's just too large. Instead of measuring miles, we measure light years. This is how far light will travel in a year. It's a distance, not a time. Now, you can calculate this. We know light is 186,000 miles per second. That's the speed. Okay, how far does it travel in a year? 60 seconds in a minute times 60 seconds or 60 minutes in an hour times 24 hours in a day times 365 days. And that would give you 31,536,000 seconds in a year. Now multiply this by 186,000 miles an hour. And that gives you 5,865,700,000,000 miles. Now, you don't expect to drive this distance. At 70 miles an hour, it would take you around 9.56 billion years or million years to drive. So we'd want a faster vehicle. Let's get one to drive 1,000 miles an hour. Now, that's still going to take us 662,000 years to drive. So we know this is impractical. But God can do this in an instant. He can travel these distances in an instant. But for those of you who want to convert these light years into miles, you can very easily by multiplying the light year times, say let's make it easy, say 5.9 trillion miles. That makes it easier than the whole number that I've just read out to you. Let's look at some distances in the universe, beginning first with our solar system. Now, our moon is 250,000 miles away, but light can be reflected from the moon. When it's reflected, it takes it 1.25 seconds to reach Earth, or the 1.25 light second. Okay. Now, the Earth is 93 million miles from the sun. It takes it 8 light minutes, 19 light seconds to reach Earth. That's pretty fast. Now, the largest planet in our solar system, Jupiter, it's 484 million miles from the sun. It takes light 40 minutes or 40 light minutes to reach Jupiter. And Neptune, the outermost since Pluto has been demoted, is 2,794 million miles from Earth. And it takes it light 4 hours to travel from the sun to Neptune. Our solar system is very, very large. But in comparison to the universe, it's extremely small. Let's consider what's beyond our solar system. This is for those science classes that you missed. The nearest star to our sun is Proxima Centauri. It's in the group of stars, it's three stars, Proxima Centauri and Alpha Centauri A and B. It's 4.37 light years. All right, now convert that light years to miles. Quickly. It's roughly 22 trillion miles. It's difficult to grasp this distance, but if you take a grapefruit, say, this is the Earth. You take another grapefruit. This is Alpha Centauri. You place them relative distance that they would be. Those two grapefruits would be 2,500 miles apart from one coast to the other coast of the United States. We live in a Milky Way galaxy. At one time, it's thought this Milky Way galaxy was the sum total of the universe. It's about, the center of it's about 25,000 light years away. 25,000. The diameter, long lengthwise, is about 100,000. I think that was the number. 100,000 light years. Whatever. That's 25,000, 100,000, hey, no difference. We won't travel that in a car. Large galaxies like ours contain about at least 200 billion stars. But the Milky Way contains between 400 and 500 billion stars. Now imagine, remember, we're one star that we're familiar with. Very closely. We call it the sun. But there's between 400 and 500 billion of these in this Milky Way galaxy. In 1925, Edwin Hubble proved that the Andromeda Nebula was not a nebula at all, but an entirely different galaxy. And by doing this, he proved that the universe went beyond the Milky Way. The Andromeda galaxy is about 2 million light years away. Remember these numbers. They're important. I just want to show the size of what God has created, the glory that He has revealed to us, primarily in the last 100 years. Before that, no one knew what the Andromeda Galaxy was. They thought it was a gas cloud. But now we know it is an entire new galaxy. Andromeda and Milky Way are part of what is called a local group of about 30 galaxies. They're gravitationally bound together. They rotate around each other. But most larger clusters of galaxies, the nearest one being the Virgo galaxy, is about 50 million light years away. It has between 100 and 1,000 galaxies. I can't get my mind around these numbers. That's why I'm wanting to confuse all of you. I just can't do it. My mind does not comprehend these numbers. Thanks to the Hubble telescope, space telescope, in 1995, they took an image of a piece of the sky where there appeared to be nothing, completely empty of any stars or anything. They exposed this image for 10 days. After 10 days, they processed it, and they found 3,000 galaxies in a space of a hold a grain, rice grain at arm's length. Cover that with amount of sky. They found 3,000 galaxies. In 2005 or 4, they took another image, 11 days this time. It's called the Hubble Ultra Deep Field. Another dark, space where nothing appeared to be there. This time they found 10,000 galaxies. The size of this space would be about 1% of what the moon would cover. Or you say if they found 10,000 there, and it's 1% of the moon, the moon hides then about 1 million galaxies, if it was uniformly distributed throughout space. Science thinks that the universe is about 13.7 billion years old, because that's the distance of the farthest galaxy they can see. And it is a limit of what can be seen in the visible light band. But Edwin Hubble proved through the redshift that the universe is expanding. And now, by calculations, that light that left 13.7 billion years, that galaxy is now 78 billion light years away. So that means the universe, from one side to the other, 156 billion light years across. But that's not the end of the story. So they think that there are between 100 billion to 1 trillion galaxies. And each galaxy can contain between 100 billion to 1 trillion stars. Now, when you start calculating the number of stars, that again is beyond my ability to comprehend. Here's an analogy that I found on the internet about the relative scale of the universe. The Milky Way galaxy, which is 100,000 miles across, you reduce it to the size of a penny, 1 inch, about a penny or a nickel. And you place the Andromeda galaxy, which is about the same size, around the equivalent number, distance away, it would be 23 inches away. And the Virgo cluster, which is 50 million miles away, light years away, would be 500 inches from the 1 inch Milky Way galaxy. It says the visible universe has a horizon of about 14 billion light years, and the most distant galaxies seen by the Hubble Space Telescope are nearly at this limit at about 12 to 13 billion light years. This is about 15 to 20 miles from the Milky Way penny. 100,000 miles, light years. I don't know why I keep saying miles, it's light years. And that is much more than miles. Well, 100,000 light years width of that penny. And the edge of the universe that we're observable universe is 20 miles away. But it goes on to say, in our scale model, though our horizon is at 20 miles from us, the rest of the current unobservable universe is stretched thousands or even millions of miles from the last penny we can see. As the universe gets older, these more distant pennies will come into view. But of course, we will see them as they were when they were younger than they actually are. Now, the physical universe wasn't needed for spirit beings. Of course, the angels rejoiced when they saw the earth. But mankind, a physical being, needed a physical universe. The universe shows that God has been planning for mankind for at least 13.7 billion years. He hasn't rushed anything. He's taken his time. The entire universe was created from nothing, just the will of God. You know, they say that the universe is expanding at such a rate that it can't be explained by the total mass that they see in the universe. It makes up only about 5% of what is needed to explain the expansion. The rest, they say, is dark matter or dark energy. Now, who knows? Is that God's will that is doing this and not energy or matter at all, but God's will? We don't know. That's just a sidebar. The Hubble telescope has revealed such wonderful, awesome images that if when you see them, it's impossible to not glorify God for His creation, for the beauty that He's placed out there that couldn't be seen or observed until the last two decades. Why? Why has God have all this beauty out there? These wonderful, magnificent nebula that where stars are born, solar systems are created. God has a plan for the universe, but He hasn't revealed that to us. In Psalms 8, verses 3 through 9. Psalms 8, verses 3 through 9. David writes, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the path of the sea. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth." When we look out into the universe, we just get a hint of the glory of God. God has opened it up to our view, perhaps so that we can consider what God has in store for us. Perhaps we are the last generation before Christ returns. He's letting us glimpse into what His kingdom is going to include. since his kingdom and government will have no end, will he allow us to help in that expansion, perhaps in Andromeda Galaxy or the Virgo Cluster, which is 50 million light years away? Our righteousness or unrighteousness does not affect God. It affects us. It determines if we will have part in that work, in expanding that government of God throughout the universe. The glory that we see now is only a hint of what will be in God's kingdom. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and our words and actions should reflect God and Jesus Christ in us, which will glorify God in Christ. If we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, God and Christ are dwelling in us, and we are holy. We should be holy, should act holy. Our conduct, our words, our thoughts should be holy. They should be what Christ would do. Christ left us an example. As I said, God doesn't need to receive glory from us, but we need to give glory. By doing so, it helps us realize just how insignificant we are, although we are the pinnacle of God's creation. In comparison to God, we are insignificant. God, through His will and Jesus Christ, or the Word, created this immense universe, which is, well, you want to say, 156 billion light years in diameter. But He put us on this earth, in the Milky Way galaxy, to develop the character that He can use in His kingdom, where we can overcome our nature and grow into the nature of God, His nature of love and compassion and patience. We see God's glory all around us in what He's created. It's revealed mind-boggling images. We should be humbled by this creation. Man can't help but look in wonder at the awesome universe, as well as this pale blue planet we call Earth, that God created for His future family. It is only fitting that we glorify God for all that He has done for us and revealed to us through His creation, not only in the universe, but on this earth, from the small microbes, the beauty of the flowers, the trees, the birds, the colors that are throughout nature. These only reveal a small portion of God's glory, but God will give us His glory when Jesus Christ returns. We will have part of that glory, the attributes and nature of God will someday be given to us. So whatever we may do, say, or think should be for the glory of God.